I got asked the other day about what the heck I mean by synergy and planning and combining strategies in a synergistic way, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know. Synergy is probably the most overused, underutilized concept I've seen in investing in my career. Very few times I've been promised synergy in my life have I actually seen synergistic results. But in real estate and investing for retirement, you have the ability to combine strategies, sometimes more than just two. You can take three or four strategies and combine them in such a way that the results are more than the parts, far and away. Here's a concrete real-life case study example. So this couple started out in their late 30s. Now, they had a lot of money saved up. When I say a lot of money, I'm talking a few hundred thousand dollars. So scale this up or down depending on your financial circumstances, okay? They had the one big thing I love in their favor, their best friend, Father Time. Okay? They're 40 now, but they started with me a couple years ago. So now they have a whole family of small income properties. They have 10. They can't have any more right now. They've got to get rid of those loans. Now they can add about $3,000 a month from the family budget. It's not that they make that much money. They make more than the average by far. But between them, they still don't make $200,000. But they live about up to their shin bones, and they save a lot of money. They can't even use all the depreciation they're getting from all the real estate they own against their ordinary income because they make too much. Remember, when you make over $150,000, you don't get to use depreciation on your job income. But that's one of the strategies. That's where we make lemonade out of lemons. So let's start there. Here's what they're doing. Each property that they have is generating $8,000 to $10,000 a year in depreciation. So we culled two properties from their 10 property herd, so to speak, and we said we're going to supercharge their depreciation. Now, that means they're going away from straight line, and what they're going to use is something known as cost segregation. That's just a fancy way to make it sound sophisticated. It just means that instead of just using something mathematical and a formula to arrive at how much you get to use for depreciation, they're going to take all the parts of what it took to construct that property and depreciate them separately. And what that does is two things. Instead of ending up with 25 years or more of depreciation and the same amount every year, they're going to get about 5 years of hyped up on steroids depreciation. Instead of 8 to 10, they'll get 18 to 22,000 a year per duplex. So it's a double-edged sword. On one end, they get much higher depreciation every year in terms of dollars. We love that. On the other end, two things happen. In 5 years, they're virtually out of over 80% of their depreciable base on those two properties. And the other thing is that they get what's tagged with what's called a recapture tax, which is a much higher tax rate than capital gains, right? It's give or take about 24, 25%. Capital gains is 15% for most people. So here's what we can do, though. Remember, I told you, they make over 150. They're barred from taking any excess depreciation over cash flow against their ordinary income. So that means if they, best case scenario of each of these two duplexes does $5,000 a year income apiece in cash flow, but they're doing $20,000 a year apiece in depreciation, we have a total of $15,000 each a year, $30,000, that is unused. We don't have any more cash flow for it to write off, but we can't use it against their $170,000, $80,000 a year. What do? Let it collect dust for 5 years. Oops. $150,000 of unused, quote, here's the word we all like, write-off, is sitting on the shelf. We can dust it off because The next part of that strategy, and here's where the synergy comes in. The first strategy, cost segregation, turbocharge the depreciation. The second strategy is we use their extra spendable money from their family budget plus the cash flow from 10 properties to pay these two off in 53 to 55 months. Now, that gives us almost $600,000, about 570 to 580, in gross value properties, debt-free, less than 5 years. We sell those. Let's say it didn't go up a dime. They are already going up, but let's just say it didn't go up a dime. They pay full brokerage fees and closing costs, and they end up with, give or take, the sale of for 580 total, and it cost them maybe $40,000 to sell. So now they got 540. $540,000, and you say, well, they may have to pay a total of capital gains on that, not much, but that depreciation recapture is going to be horrible. So you take maybe that depreciation recapture was a total of maybe, what do you want to call it, 50 grand. Let's move it to 60. They owe $60,000. They made 540. That's 480. Let's knock that down to 450. Let's just really ram it. Except for the fact they couldn't use the depreciation before because they made too much. Now the IRS is the one with the handcuffs on because now they can't stop them from using that 150 unused depreciation against their income that year. Now, let's say they made a little bit more money. Now they're making 200. They've got 130,000. Now they didn't even make 100. They live in California. You take an extra bite of ice cream there and you get taxed. Ask anybody who lives there. We can tell you. Between federal and state, that 130,000, there's no way that 130,000 doesn't save them at least $40,000. They spent 60, they saved 40, their net tax hit was 20,000. So they didn't get down to 450, 480. They probably net 500, but let's say they netted about 475. That's after tax, less than 5 years. So what do we do with all this money? The third strategy. We now take 75 of that 475 because, you know, we all want that 75,000 used RV, right? They buy it. It's their money. Why not? But then they take 400,000 left over and they buy a second EIUL. They have one that's been cooking at $1,000 a month. We'll hit that later. But now they're going to take $80,000 four consecutive years and one day later, and they're going to buy a second EIUL for what's more or less a one lump sum payment, even though it's 4 years. And they're going to let that simmer until age 62. There's nothing magical about that year except for them. And by the way, you don't need to be an accredited investor. You don't even have to be employed to have an EIUL. You just need to make the payments. So now they have taken 20% of their investment real estate portfolio and they've turned it in to a nice slow cooker for their second EIUL. So let's talk about the synergy here. They've got the first investment strategy, buy real estate. The second investment strategy, use cost segregation, turbocharge the depreciation. The third strategy, bring that segregated higher depreciation off the shelf and be able to save taxes to maintain a high equity position in terms of cash when you sell 20% of that portfolio. Now, the next strategy is they take that into the EIUL. What does that result? Well, that one move that took less than 5 years, but they used three or four strategies synergistically, is going to, along with their first use of an EIUL at $1,000 a month, when they're 62, that culminates in over $13,000 a month income virtually for the rest of their lives. Oh, and did I mention it's tax-free by definition? Now, that's what I call synergistic results. But that's not the whole story. They wanted to retire at 50. They started it in their late 30s. By the time they're 50, they say before, I'm saying 50. I'm on the video, we're using 50. They're going to have those remaining 8 small properties completely free and clear. Now, using Murphy's spreadsheet, gross scheduled income divided by 2, take all the other formulas and throw them out. If it's more, you're not going to complain. If it's less, you got the wrong piece of property. Those 8 are going to give them, give or take, $12,500 a month at 50. Now, about half of that, because it didn't use cost segregation on those 8, is going to be sheltered. So $6,000 a month they'll pay taxes on, the other $6,000 they won't. Now, they'll have to limp along for about 5, 6, 7 years until Mrs. Investor retires. Now, her industry, and she already knows what this is going to be, is going to give her about $3,000 a month pension. So they'll go from 12.5 from their real estate, free and clear, to about 15 and change. And then 5 years later, if she does that at, say, 57, the EIULs will kick in, over $13,000 a month tax-free. And now they'll have over $25,000 a month, all but $6,000 either tax-sheltered or tax-free by definition. Now, that sounds really good, right? $300,000 a year and less than $80,000 of it taxable. Well, first of all, a caveat, that 50% of the cash flow that's sheltered, if they retire at 50, that will only run another 16 or 17 years. And then that whole $12,500 a month will be taxable. And remember, I keep saying the same 12.5 figure per month from the real estate. That's assuming that their net operating income doesn't go up a dime in the next decade, or the decade after that, or the decade after that. Now, I've been doing this for 44 years as of the middle of this October. I've never seen that happen over the long haul. It goes up. I assume it's going to do the same thing. Now, over the long haul, there's another strategy that I had them in vogue, and that was the discounted notes. Now, they got all of their real estate accounted for, these 10 small properties, and they got their EIULs going and everything else. Now, between the time they started in their late 30s and before they hit 41, they'll have 2 sets of note portfolios. One in their own self-administered, self-directed, solo 401k on the Roth side, and one in their own names. Now, let's talk about the one in their own names. The one in their own names is taxable, as you would expect, to the extent that each payment has interest involved in it. So most of that payment will be taxed as ordinary income, because that's how interest is treated by the IRS. The other part of most note payments is principal, unless it's interest only. These are amortized loans. So you've got 2 kinds of non-interest part of that payment. One is return of capital. That's not taxable. That's just the return of your investment in that note. But then the rest of it is return on capital. That's taxed. Now, if it's over a year you've held it, that's a capital gain type of treatment. Sooner or later, that note will pay off. And typically, most people are paying 45 to 65 cents on the dollar when they buy the note. So if they bought a $100,000 note, they might have paid $55,000 for it. Well, if it pays off, say, in 5 years, Most of them are going to, these days are going to pay off in 9 or 10, according to the latest figures. But if it pays off in 5, because you're lucky that time, that $100,000 will be a little over 96, 97 payoff. You put in 55, you're going to be paying 15% capital gains on a little over 45 grand. 6,000, 6,500. So you got your 55 back. You pay off maybe another 6 or 7,000 in taxes. Now you're not spending 55. You're spending 85. And if you didn't use the payments for anything, which we'll get to because they did, now you're buying a bigger note and you're getting bigger payments. You got a raise. Now, let me tell you how they synergistically use those after-tax payments of that small note. Now, that small note, they only spent $55,000 for it, but that small $55,000 that they spent for a $100,000 note was generating about $6,000 a year. After taxes, let's say it was $4,500. Well, they were taking a little under $400 a month after tax, and they were applying it to the pay down of their real estate. Now, that's how they might pay off those two in less than even 53 or 54 or 5 months. That's also how they might turn out to be right in retiring before 50. Because that extra bit every month makes more than a little difference. It's like water on a rock. If it's consistent and keeps hitting the same spot, pretty soon there's a little bit of a hole in that rock. Well, the same thing with notes. But what else have you done? Again, synergistic results with multiple strategies. That note pays off, just like I said. You get a bigger note. You're growing retirement income. It's just not in your solo 401k. By the time they retire at 50, that will have been over a decade buying notes, or say about a decade. They started out getting about $500 a month. My guess is, by the time they're 50, it'll be twice that. And that's being conservative, but $1,000 a month is $1,000 a month that wouldn't have been there. And it'll keep growing till they're dead. They can't help it. They'll pay off, they'll make more money, they'll rinse and repeat. Meanwhile, back at the solo 401k ranch, another strategy, they'll be taking income. They will have rolled over several hundred thousand dollars from another IRA and a previous employer, 401k, into the solo. They would move that from the traditional part of the solo 401k into the Roth side. And now they're buying notes, just like they did in their own name. Thing is, every time these notes pay off, no taxes. Every time they get the payments, no taxes. You know what's happening over time? Their payments are buying notes. First of all, it takes maybe 2 or 3 years to buy a note with payments. I know people that they make so much money in notes. There was a time in their lives before they retired, their payments were buying notes every 3 or 4 months. That's the truth. I've seen it with my own eyes. What happens is this. At 59 and a half is the earliest point in time you can access the income from your retirement plan, IRA, 401k, without being penalized. If it's a Roth, you're not only not being penalized, you're not being taxed. Going out, it's after-tax money. Furthermore, if you are able to execute the strategy of having your own business, whether it's a side business or it's part of, or you turned your investment business, so that income can be used, so you can contribute $17,500 a year for you and your bride every year after tax, $35,000 a year. And by the way, that $35,000 turns into $46,000 total when you're 50. You do that until you're 59 and a half, and you started out with a good chunk to begin with, 100, 200, in this case, over 300, and you cook that from the time you were 40 till almost 60, a couple of decades, if you don't have somewhere between 10 and 30,000 a month tax-free at retirement at 60, somebody screwed up, because it's going to happen organically. You don't have to race. You're going to get paid off at random. You can't control it. Your payments are not going to be taxed. They're going to be buying more notes. You're $35,000 to $46,000 a year, and in some cases, $50,000 to $100,000 a year, if you do it right, contributions, are going to be buying more notes. It gets silly after a while. What ends up happening is this. And when I tell young people this, they kind of slough it off until they believe with their own eyes the truth of what I'm about to say. Over time, if time is your friend, you can create an income that after tax is large enough that it just won't matter to you to make it any bigger. It's not that you're going to retire with $2 million a year. I'm not saying that. But if you're retired with a free and clear home and you want to travel all over the world, you want to have this kind of car or that kind of car, but you want to still be safe and have savings, and you have this tax-free income coming in, and you have income from your free and clear real estate, and you have this note income coming in outside of your solo, all these different sources of income, your problem is going to be spending that much money without being silly. I'm not joking. That's what I mean when I say time is your friend. And that when I talk about strategic synergism, that's what I mean. It's not just a phrase. Do it on purpose, and do it over a long time. And what I just outlined can be your future in one way or another.